And your face will surely show it, right? And it's God's plan that we walk in joy and peace. A feeling of belonging and a sense of destiny. Anything less than that is the devil's plan. I just want you to know he's defeated today. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul said this crazy thing. He said, be anxious for nothing. I said, Lord, can't I have just a little bit of anxiety? I don't know how I would make it during the day if I didn't have a little bit of anxiety. But he said, what? Be anxious for nothing. Say it with me. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Wait a minute. I thought that was over. That was last week, Thursday, right? It's over? No, no, no. It's a key. It's a key to what Paul is saying in this particular discourse. He said, with thanksgiving, let a thanksgiving accompany this attitude. Let your request be made known to God. Verse 7, he goes on to say, and the peace of God. Say the peace of God. The peace of God is nothing missing, nothing broken. It is that gift that comes from God that Jesus came to give his disciples when he said, peace I give you. Not as the world do I give unto you, but only as I can give you. God wants us to walk in peace, not in anxiety, not in stress, not in worry, but in peace. 2 weeks ago, we introduced this topic, and I shared an illustration out of 2 Samuel. And I said we need to shamatize our mind. You remember that? So put up my little confession in case you've forgotten it or misplaced it, or it's on the floorboard of your car or maybe in your other Bible. I want us to declare this because Shama was one of David's mighty men. And Israel had their harvest constantly stolen by the Philistines. Here's how the devil works. He'll let you sow, he'll let you grow, he'll let you cultivate, but when you go to reap, he wants to steal it away. And Shama got tired of it. He said, you know what, this ain't gonna happen anymore. And I talked about how the harvest field is symbolic of our minds. So if you think about it with me, our minds are our harvest field. And we're going to see that in the Word in just a minute. And then we came up with this confession. So if you'd like to share it with me, I'm going to quote it. Maybe you can quote it with me. Let's declare it with authority. Let's declare it with a convincing belief and a declaration. Are you ready? Let's do it. My mind is God's harvest field. I refuse to permit any unauthorized thought to enter and take root. I will shamatize my mind. I cast all care upon God and take his word on the matter as my conclusion in the matter. I will not be moved. I will submit myself to the word of God. I refute arguments, theories, reasonings, and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the truth. My thoughts are the thoughts of the diligent, which tend only to plenteousness. Therefore, I'll not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Thank you, O Lord, for you will cause my thoughts to become agreeable to your will, and so shall my plans be established and succeed in Jesus' name. Amen. Shama, his name means the Lord is near. So if you think with me symbolically, he stood in the middle of his mind, in the middle of his thinking, and he said, not now, devil, the Lord is near. The Lord is in this harvest field, and you are defeated. He turned away the Philistines, and he was able to take a part of the harvest that belonged to him. I believe there are many Christians today who are sowing, who are cultivating, who are fertilizing, but never get to reap of their harvest that God had intended for them. It is because the enemy will come in like those Philistines, and he comes into our thinking. And I believe that if the devil can get into your brain, then it's only a matter of time before you and I are defeated. Let me say this, and we'll talk about it more. You cannot think the worst and expect the best. It just doesn't happen. So we have to do some adjustment and recognize our brain is what the devil is in love with. Did you know the Bible says this, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So if that be true, and how many believe it's true because it's in the Word of God? Let me see your hand. Those of you that are undecided. Okay. Because not everybody raised their hand. But that's okay, because maybe you're still thinking about it. But to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Therefore, if the enemy can introduce carnal thinking into our brains, then the outcome, by the word of the God, by the law of God, is death. But if we will be spiritually minded, the outcome also has to be what? Life and peace. I don't know about you, but I believe there is a place in our faith that no matter what's happening around us or what's happening to us, we can live in perfect peace and anxiety free. I want to be there. I want to live there. I believe that we can reduce the prayer line a lot by people just thinking right. And this is what we want to look at today, kind of a follow-up of 2 weeks ago. Because I believe that every word or every thought that never enters your mind will have no effect on you. So if you allow it to enter and to take root, that's when it will begin to have an impact or an effect on your life. Go to Isaiah 26:3. This is a great word. I want you to follow with me as the progression of thought here, because this, I believe, is probably the greatest, most important, vital message I've ever preached in my life. I almost believe that every week. If I didn't, I'd get out of the pulpit. But I do believe today this is a very important key message, because if we can get this down, we can find a place of total peace in the midst of a storm. Isaiah 26:3, the prophet says this. Read it with me. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So you will keep him in perfect peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken, total peace of God. But he says the qualifying factor of that is that the person's mind, everybody say mind, person's mind is what? Stayed on him or on God. So let's look at this word mind for a minute. In the Hebrew, it's yetzir. And I've got the definition there. I want you to look at it with me. It means he who keeps his mind or yetzir or the form or create, to form or create or devise that which is formed or made by the mind, its thoughts or imaginations. So we understand then he who keeps the central place of formation and imaging on God will have perfect peace. Now I want you to look at this Hebrew word for a minute, because our brains are so powerful that if we introduce the right thought, it will determine our destiny. When a man thinks, a man will begin to act. When a man acts, it will develop his character. And character will determine destiny. Now, I want to look at that for just a moment as we get back to this word mind. He said, he who keeps that place of formation and imaging, you and I have been called as stewards of our thinking, of our minds. But I have to tell you, we're living in a generation that has become mindless. We sort of kind of float through our day, and whatever comes, comes, and all we can find ourselves doing is grumbling and complaining about it. I believe that if this is the place of formation and imaging, then we need to look at the second part. So he said, who keeps his formation or imaging place stayed on God. The word stayed there means supported by God. So therefore, what I have to do is I have to recognize the power of my mind, knowing that if I keep it, that power, that place of formation and imaging, supported by God, I'm going to have perfect peace. But if I don't support that place of imaging and formation by God, then I'm not going to have perfect peace. That means no matter what's happening around me or happening to me, so long as my mind is supported by God in its thinking, I can have peace in the midst of the storm. Some people look at you and go, man, aren't you worried? Aren't you afraid? Aren't you concerned? Aren't you nervous? And you look back at them and say, no, why should I be? And at that point, they're going to try to introduce thought to you that is going to be contrarily supported by God. When those thoughts come in and take root, they will form an image in your thinking, which will produce action, which will result in destiny. So I'm actually living my life today based on the thoughts of my yesterday. The Bible tells us, as a man thinks, so is he. Let's look at this a little bit further. You see, Paul implied in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9, which we never finished. So can we go back to Philippians chapter 4 and look at verse 8? Because he talked about thanksgiving. And then he said in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, there's any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now, God would have never told us to do something that we have no capability of doing. So he told us to meditate. The word meditate means to revolve around in your thinking or to image in your mind these things. Now, why does he mention six aspects of thought? We find that these six aspects of thought are sort of like a fence post and the railings. The fence post and railings that protect or guard your thinking. Because as a man thinks, so is he. Therefore, I must take inventory of every thought that comes into my mind. Because if it's not supported by God, I must take it into obedience to Christ. I must cast down images that are being formed in that thinking that are not supported by God. If I don't cast them down soon enough, I will act them out. I will become those images. Some people say to me, man, I'm having a bad day. I spilled my coffee all over my laptop. I know this day is going to be worthless. I can only imagine what it's going to be like on the highway. It's probably going to be backed up. I'm probably going to be late for work. Then I'll probably get, you know, deducted out of my pay, and I won't be able to make my light bill. We're going to lose our house. I can't believe it that we're going to lose our house. And I got the doctor's appointment, and I know what the doctor's going to say. He's going to say, I got the C word, and oh, no, what am I going to do? And now I feel like we might as well just, honey, I'm calling off. I'm going back to bed. Now, most of us would never be that extreme. Whoops. But you've heard some people say, you know, some people see a cup half full or half empty. I saw this on Facebook the other day, which really blessed my heart. The guy said, you know, whether your cup's half full or half empty, be thankful you got a cup. Did you know that you can create your day through the formation and imaging of your mind of the thought that you've accepted when you spilled the coffee on your laptop? Because all your mind will see once you've taken that thought in and it's taken root is the negative in that day. God said he created the day and he said it was good. But you know what? Your stinking thinking won't allow you to see anything but bad because that's all you've imaged in your brain. So no matter how much good is around you, it sucks. You follow me? I'm just making it real, man. It's just the way it is. And so we go through life angry, angry at God, angry at everybody else. Why don't you help me? Why don't you do something? See what you did? Had you not filled that coffee cup up so high, it wouldn't have spilled on my laptop. And what is this toy doing over here? Get over here and pick those toys up. How many times did I tell you to pick up those toys? So all of a sudden, we have created the storm around us, and everybody's getting caught up in it. All the debris is flinging around your bad imaging, because you've taken in thoughts that aren't supported by God. Now you say, Pastor, come on, is this possible? Yeah. How do you know? I've done it. Okay? I've done it. I'm trying to get away from it. But I think if we go back to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, the key in all of this to get this formed in our mind, to begin to live on this standard, is we've got to get an attitude of gratitude. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. You know what we're living in? We're living in a generation of entitlement mentality. You get a welfare check and it's late. And you go down to the office and you go, where's my money? It's supposed to be here on the 1st. Do you realize it's the 8th? What you think I'm going to do? Give me my money. Sweetheart, why don't you just get thanksgiving in your mind? Well, I don't know why she has to be driving that brand new car and I'm driving this 200,000-mile beater. I mean, I tithe. I go to the same church. I just don't understand it, God. Why are you good to them and you're not good to me? You see, to be ungrateful for what you have, you will never implement this principle of the formation and imaging of your mind supported by God. God only makes people whole who are thankful. He may heal you, but you'll never come to wholeness. You remember the 10 lepers? 9 of them came back. I mean, 1 came back. Sounds like the church. 1 came back and said, oh, Lord, thank you, sir, for healing me of leprosy. And Jesus said, weren't there 9 of y'all? Now, isn't this interesting? Jesus wanted the 9 to adopt the same mentality because he knew without the mentality of gratefulness, they could never reach the point of wholeness. The 1 went away whole. You look at it in the Greek, and it means entirely body, soul, and spirit. The others got healed of a sickness and disease, but they still went away with wrong thinking. They still went away with defeat. They still went away with a mentality that was going to control them. But this one man who had gratefulness in his heart found the foundation to allowing God to build a fence around him that protected his thinking, which created his actions to be in alignment with God's word, which then produced his destiny on the earth. So the devil is in love with your brain. Yes, he is. He said, man, I just want to kiss that brain. I want to hold that brain. Now, this is a photo of my brain. And so I'd like for a volunteer to come and hold my brain. Anybody? Thank you, Brother Ron. Would you just stand there in the front of that first step and hold my brain? Now, don't drop it. Don't mess with it. Just hold it. All right. My thinking. It is the place of the formation and imaging of all that is supported by God. In other words, I can see it before it becomes reality because it's being formed by God's word. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Don't have time to go there. But form the entirety of the worlds by the things that he had spoken. So if this is my brain, then my will has to make a decision as to what's permitted entrance. Now hold that for a minute. Don't get your arms tired. I've got some other things to say. But listen to what Bunyan said. when he was giving his description of ignorance, as he walked beside two elder pilgrims, he said this, "My heart is as good as any man's heart." Then he adds this, "As for my thoughts, I take no notice of them." Too many people leave the gateway of their soul unattended. You leave the gate open. When you leave the gateway open to your thinking, anything can come in. Proverbs talks about a city without walls. Anything can go out and anything could come in. What this generation has been designed, custom made for our children is to possess their thinking. Because once they have the thoughts introduced into the image center, into the formation center, then we don't have to worry about how many times they go to Sunday school, how many times they go to church, whether or not they attend youth group, whether or not you come to church or even read your Bible. Because if he has an inroad to your thinking and you live in an ungrateful manner, then there is no hope for the processing of God's peace into your life. Now, thoughts are like raw materials to the mind. Thoughts are like raw materials to the mind, which lets them in. When they let them in, they begin to form one's life. A thought into the mind results in action, forming character, determining destiny. Now, Proverbs 25 and 28, if you could put that on the screen, you could put your hands down a little bit to rest because you're going to be there a while, brother. Is that okay? You good? You look good. He always looks good. Now, look at this, because a lot of people say, well, you can't control what you think. But whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. So therefore, the inference is we can have rule over our spirit. So I can either choose to think right or choose to think wrong. I could either choose to think what's supported by God or choose to think what's been presented by either fear, rumor, doubt, or falsity. I have that choice. My brain is only going to receive what I will to let in. The devil's not making you do it. Okay? So if that be the case, then 1 Peter 1:13 takes on new meaning for me. Have you ever read 1 Peter 1:13? It says, "Therefore, gird up the loins." Now, I had to look at that and go, okay, gird up the loins? What is that all about? Well, yeah, and Nick and I are going, I don't know, but gird up the loins. Gird up the loins has an expression or a term applicable to those that had need of running the race. They had long garments flowing down to their ankles. To gird up your garment was to tuck it between your leg and wrap it around your waist so as not to be prohibited when you ran. So you were girding up your garment to have freedom of movement, freedom and speed to achieve or to arrive at a destination without hindrance. So Peter picks up this thought and he said, now I want you to gird up the loins of your mind. The gird word, didn't plan that, but the gird word is the same word that's applicable to the garment. Thus, you can conclude, Peter is saying, I want you to pick up and tie around your waist. In other words, don't allow loose thinking to trip you up. Loose thinking. It will trip you up. So therefore, I am told I have the ability to gird it. God would not have told me to do something He didn't empower me to do. If I have a withered place in my hand, He told me to stretch it out. That means I have the ability to do it, no matter how handicapped I believe I am. If He said, take up your pallet and walk, and this pallet's been carrying me, things are about to shift. Because God said, I can, I will, and I must. This is a moment in history, in the church, where we've got to revive our thinking about who we are, who God is, what His kingdom is on the earth, and what His covenant implies to our lives. You doing okay, Brother Ron?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm moving that way. So verse 8 of Philippians chapter 4 says to meditate on these things. So let me introduce to us here today some thought that Paul gives us. So, Nick, could you put your, bring your coffee. It's okay. Come on with it if you want to. Well, you be truth. I want you to be truth and stand next to my brain. All right? Whatsoever things are true. Now, what Paul was saying is, I want you to bring your mind into contact with truth only. Okay, that's what he was saying. Okay, John, would you mind? I know I'm messing with everybody here, but help me if you don't mind. I want you to be a rumor. Doesn't matter what kind of, well, be nice. You never know what you're going to get when you do an illustrated sermon spontaneously, right? Okay. If we're to think upon things that are true, our brain is only to receive and come in contact with what truth is. Not rumor, not fear, not assumption, not falsity, not fable, nothing. None of those thoughts are to come into my mind. However, guess what? They try. They try all the time. So, when rumor, don't get too aggressive because you are bigger than Nick, try to get to my brain.
Going down.
You're going down. He said you're going down. Rumor turns towards truth, and truth turns towards rumor. And as rumor tries to enter into my brain, I have to make the choice. The rumor is they're laying off and they're going to close the plant. I'm starting to feel it. Rumor is encroaching upon my thinking. However, I decided that it's not truth supported by God, that I'm going to starve, lose my house, can't pay my bills, I'm not going to make it, we're going to go under. No, that's not supported by God. Because what's supported by God is that I've been young and I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread, right? My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So truth has to forward down and break down rumor, and rumor has to go. Go, rumor, go sit down. That's what Paul was saying. Then he said, I only want you to think about things that are honest. Help me, Dominic. You're honest. All right? Honest. What is Paul inferring? Paul's inferring this. Those things that are reverent, admit into the mind only that which is worthy of God. Okay, who wants to be this? I can't read it because then you won't volunteer. Come on, Christian, help me out, baby. Okay. You're married. Don't read it. Just look at it. Give it to the people. You're married. You work with an office pool of men and women. Doggone, that woman on the other side of that office looks good. You want to get with her. Okay, now wait a minute here. Think only those things that are worthy of God. As a man of God, is this thought worthy of the God he serves? No. Without a thankful foundation, he's mincemeat for the devil. We build this all on thankfulness. But now, whatsoever things are honest measures this thought as to whether or not it be worthy of God. So the thought comes, and the thought of honesty or unworthy to God pushes it back and puts it in its place. Now, you can sit down. Does that mean we're never going to have these thoughts? Absolutely not. Don't you be condemned because you thought she looked good and it would be good to get with her. Well, Pastor, I would never. You say, Pastor, I know that my God meets all my needs. I would never think that we're going to starve to death. Listen, rumors, falsity, and fear are the inroads to our thinking that unless we meditate and revolve in our mind the truth, supported by God, this imaging center will literally create the very thought that's being infused. In other words, that rumor will become reality. We'll almost sabotage ourselves.
Yes.
This unworthy thought of God will actually become an act which will destroy our character and steal our destiny. That's why so many Christians, because their brain has not been fenced, the gateway of their soul has not been closed with thankfulness, they become shipwrecked in their faith. Friends, this is how we change Northeastern Ohio, is with the right thinking formed in our minds to release our destinies in the earth. When we begin to do this collectively, we become a power source on the earth that the enemy cannot reckon with. Are you with me so far? Am I wearing you out? All right, I'm going to try to hurry here because it's difficult. Can I take my time? Okay. All right, I need somebody to be the next one. I don't know, Mark, would you like to do that? Wait a minute, I got all women. I have all men. I want a woman. Is it Melissa?
No.
Ashley. Ashley. Ashley, right? Yes. Come here, be just. I'll make Melissa the bad person. Whatsoever things are just. Watch this. Giving honor to others. Think of others more highly than yourself. Okay? All right. This is fun. Come on, Melissa. Okay. Thoughts that are just are thoughts that are honorable toward others. And this thought will come into your thinking. Who does she think he is? She is. That's my man. That's my boyfriend. Okay. When that thought comes in to this admonition of thinking only what is honest. honorable about her, then it challenges honor. And when it comes, just has to push it back and make it go away. Okay, I'd have you do the raspberries, but the guy in front of you may not want the splatter on the back of his neck. All right, say whatsoever things are just. Say whatsoever things are pure. Okay, pure. Need another woman. Come on, Pat. Patricia, I'm sorry. Get up there, Patricia. Whatsoever things are pure. Now, what this means is to arrest that which is impure. I will never forget what you did to me. Come here, Jeannie. You may think I forgot, but when you ain't looking, I'm going to get you. I'm going to give you back what you deserve. Revenge. Now, revenge has its seat in darkness. We must evaluate the thought based on the meditation assigned. I have to take inventory and go, my God, I'm being seduced by a spirit. This is a demon spirit that is introducing a thought in my mind to hurt you. And I'm a Christian. My God, what am I thinking? So purity takes the thought of revenge and pushes it back, don't fall, to your seat. Go away. Now, here's what I want you to do. Patricia, come up here on the second step, please. And Ashley, come up on the second step. You guys stay there because we're forming a fence around my brain. Okay. Come on, Chuck. You look lovely sitting there today. Whatsoever things are lovely. Right behind the brain. There you go. Whatsoever things are lovely. Now, what that is talking about is conduct that is consistent with 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, which is a description of what agape love is. You understand? In other words, it doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. Okay, Tony, you've got to challenge your lovely Chuck. The thought comes, she hates me. She hates me. She doesn't like me. She's out to get me. All she wants is what she wants. She could care less. In other words, these thoughts of ulterior motives, manipulation, and yet the Bible says to believe the best about others. When you take this thought in, you are in the process of polluting your brain. And the enemy will create in your life circumstances of action that will result in your destiny, which is not God's plan. So when this thought of she hates me comes, then lovely says, no, I believe the best of everyone. And I don't know that to be true. And don't push her, but pushes it back. And thank you very much. Now go away. Can you handle one more? Okay. Y'all are being very good. Good report. A good report. Oh, Mark, come on. You were going to do one. You could do this one. All right. Form around my brain. My thinking right here in the front. Lift up the brain up above. Good report. Good report means this. I am going to do all that I can do with what God gives me and rejoice over it and not compare myself among others. Of course, we don't ever do that. Come on, Jesse. He got five. I only got two. The parable of the talents. When you begin to not do all that you can do with what God gave you because you keep looking at others, that they were given more, and you deem God as unfair or unjust, the devil has just captured your mind. So therefore, if we're going to have the formation and imaging of the God life, we're going to have to build a fence around our thinking. So when unfairness comes and we're angry with God, good report pushes him away. And you go away too. This is what Romans 12, 1 and 2 calls a renewed mind. Now, let's give all of these brainiacs a hand. Thank you so much. Thank you. To be seated. Take my brain with you. You can have it. Now, watch this. Christopher Columbus had a thought. Everybody else thought the world was flat. He thought, I think it's round. He couldn't get anyone to agree with him. So he went until he found somebody that agreed with his thinking. His thought of agreement produced action. He got three little ships. His action created destiny, and he discovered the new world. All out of a thought. So my question is, what are you thinking this morning? George Washington had a thought. He thought, we should form a republic that is for the people, by the people, and unless the people vote for it, we shouldn't do it. What a novel idea. Somebody ought to introduce that thought again. But nonetheless, it's Sunday, and we don't want to talk politics or religion. But the facts are, out of George Washington's thought, formed the USA. William Wilberforce had a thought that all men are created equal before God. Nobody agreed with him. But he held on to his thought until one or two did, and for decades fought against slavery and the slave trade industry. That one thought was as the result of the abolishment of slavery in the UK. One thought. When he said, I think all men are created equal. That's powerful. My question is, what are you thinking? If it's true, the Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. Then what has the devil slipped in to your mind that is not supported by God? Are you participating in life that is contrary to God's thoughts? If you are, you are imaging and forming a life whose destiny will not be God's plan. It can't be. And ultimately, you will die. Because carnal thinking creates death. Spiritual thinking creates life and peace. So, ladies and gentlemen, our quest this morning is whether or not, for example, in Romans 8:6 is that verse. You can look at it now. Put it up on the screen if you will. I'm going to make a choice as to what I'm feeding my mind. Am I going to feed it carnal thoughts, or am I going to feed it spiritual thoughts? People who are feeding their mind carnal thoughts are not only going to experience ultimate death, but I'm going to go a step further, and this is a bold statement. They will more than likely fall into the category of 85 to 97% psychosomatic illnesses and will probably spend a lifetime of poor health. You can go to every Benny Hinn meeting. You can go to every prayer line. You can send money for oil and water from the Jordan. You can get a prayer cloth from Rod. You can have Kayatin pray for you and spit on you. You could have all these things, and there's nothing wrong with that, because God in his mercy often heals. But you know what happens? That healed person goes right back to their thinking, and the disease comes right back. As a matter of fact, Jesus taught this. When a man's mind is cleared of all the evil and it's not filled back up with truth, the enemy will see it and go, hey, it's an empty house. Let's go back. And it's seven times worse than it was previously. Psalm 119, verse 78. I'm almost done. Just bear with me. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood. But I will meditate on your precepts. You know what I've determined? I am not going to act on rumor and falsehood anymore. The devil has had my lunch in that area, where I assume certain things about people because of what they might have said. I fill in the blanks. And I always fill in the blanks with the false. And I said, God, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to believe the best. I'm building a fence. Remember that song we sang on Supernatural Night? Jesus is a fence. Do, 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 do. Jesus is a fence. Do, do. That's the fence I'm talking about. It's more than just a gospel song. It's fence, post, railing, and a gate. So when we initiate this thing, we live peacefully. We live victoriously. We can't think poverty and expect increase. You can't think defeat and expect victory. You can't think fear and expect faith. And you can't think the worst and expect the best. I have people say this all the time. Well, the worst case scenario is, don't tell me about the worst case. I don't operate in worst case. We've come to feel so comfortable with carnal thinking. I said, well, that ain't carnal thinking. That ain't carnal thinking. That's just the reality. Listen, honey, reality is between these pages. I've made a decision that this is my reality. Romans 12, 1 and 2, and I quit with this, I promise. You know what they say, you are what you eat? Not true. You are what you think. All right, eat too. Look like a potato chip. Come on, let's read it. Ready? Read. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. The good, acceptable, perfect will of God will never manifest in my life until I get my thinking straight. And the only way I could do that is keep my imaging and my thought center supported by God. And when I do that, watch out, I'm going to walk in my destiny. So let me ask you a question. What you thinking about this morning? Are you thinking the world is flat? Are you thinking the world is round? What are you thinking today? That's how powerful thought is, ladies and gentlemen. And you and I have the opportunity today to be a blessing. Can I tell you something about this ministry? A lot of you don't know me. that well. You know a little bit about me. Some of you about 3 years now. Others, you know, not so long. But from the very beginning of the pastorate, God called me to raise up preachers, pastors, evangelists, and be a pastor to pastors. I don't talk about that a lot, but I have numbers of pastors who consult me for guidance, and I oversee their ministries, and I'm able to impart to younger men and women. But I just want to tell you a little bit about the history of our ministry. Way back when, in the early 80s, when I took the pastor to this church, Santo and Eva Davila came to our church. They weren't married, but we married them. Called of God to go pastor, and today pastor a church in Oberlin. Joel Souza, his brother, he and John came to our ministry. We began to impart to them and groom them and give them the tutelage of what God has placed in my life. Today, both of them pastor great churches in America. Gary Brewster, he grew up as a little boy in our church. I don't know, he's about 8 or 9 years old. We used to call him Rusty. Call him Gary now because he's a grown man pastoring in Tennessee. Brian Del Turco, he was 11 years old. He was in my Royal Rangers class. Yeah, that's right, I taught Royal Rangers. It's a great place to infuse the truth into little minds. Today, pastoring a church in Oberlin, Ohio. Lee Anderson came to us, probably 1990, tall, skinny guy, long hair, as a music minister. And today, he's a pastor in the city of Cleveland. Jason and Amy Syrock. Amy, I dedicated as a baby some 30 years ago. And, wow, pastors. Paul Endre, Church on the Rise, some of you have heard about him, came into our ministry, and we imparted to him truth, pastoral ministry, and today pastoring one of the successful churches in the region. Mike Payne, Mike and Lorene, came to our ministry 12 years ago, imparted to them the truth of God's word. Today, they're pastoring in the city of North Ridgeville and doing very well. Paul Gonzalez came as a young convert, didn't know Genesis from Revelation, had no idea about the Bible, couldn't hardly tie his spiritual shoestrings. Today, pastoring a very successful church right next to ours in Lorraine in the city of Amherst, him and his wife, Amy, doing great. Pastor Greg Ball and his wife, Bobby, came to our ministry and spent 14 years, and we laid down into their heart, layer upon layer, about the ministry and the call of God and the apostolic calling in their life. Today, are pastoring a very successful church. In Naples, Florida. Somebody's got to do it. Ron Smith. Ron and Shirley, I remember the first day they came to our church. They were just bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, loved God, had no knowledge. Today, he's the dean of academics in one of the greatest Bible colleges in the South in the state of Florida. Today, as well, Antoine and Keisha Smith. Keisha came as a little girl. Her mom was a single mom. Debbie was her name. And they grew up in the faith. Antoine and her got married, now pastoring a church in Dayton, Ohio. Also, we see I can't read my own writing. Oh, Pam. Pam and Alan Forbush, who came into our church, and we raised them up and now in full-time ministry, serving in children's ministry. I got to tell you, my son-in-law, Troy Thompson, he came in as a raggedy, defeated young man. I'll tell you what, he had no hope. And he had no future. But God. How many can say, but God? Amen. He's now a powerful man of God as a pastor in this ministry. My daughter, Mary, I am so proud. She now is youth pastor. One of the greatest youth pastors we've ever had in the history of this church. And there she is. My daughter, April, and my daughter, Rebecca, both children's ministers. April out in the west, Becca out here in the east. And my son, Louis. God, you know it was God. Raised him up. Now he runs the whole place. He's the administrator of the ministry. Ashley, she's not here today, but Ashley Sloan, I dedicated her when she was 6 weeks old as a baby unto the Lord. Today, she is a music minister under this ministry and doing great things for God. And church, that's just a small glimpse of what the Lord has done and what he wants to do in the future. So I want to introduce to you as we close this meeting today, two young men that God has laid on my heart that have a call of God on their life. And I want to pour into them. I don't want them working at Burger King, and I don't want them working someplace that's going to have this negative influence. I want them where I can see them every day and get their Bible college under their belt and learn practicum in ministry. And so I want to introduce to you my grandson, Dominic. Come on up here, Dominic. Phil's called of the Lord to preach the gospel. Getting ready to go to Haiti and do a term with YWAM. But before he does that, I'm going to get a hold of him. And someone already said, Pastor Rita, the other day when he was up here admonishing with the youth that night, she said, my goodness, he's got your anointing. I said, you know what? My ceiling will be his floor. And then another young man that I watched grow up from the time he was a baby, dedicate him into the presence of the Lord with his family. I led his mother and father to Christ. And it's a joy for me to see the heritage of the Lord generationally be raised up. And that's young Jesse Cook. Come on up here, Jesse. Stand up there. Now, Jesse is a worship leader. He loves the presence of God. He leads our remnant youth worship in both locations. And he is growing by leaps and bounds into the anointing. They sang this morning in the West and just brought the presence of God in a powerful way. I do have to tell you, though, when he was a younger boy, he used to call me the old man. But I've forgiven you of that. But I haven't forgotten it. Uh-oh, I got the wrong thinking. I saw a Facebook post of his the other night. He put on there, there's nothing like worshiping Jesus at 3 o'clock in the morning all by yourself. I said, God, I want that man. And I want him under my tutelage, under my wings. And I want to be a blessing to these boys. I said, what's the minimum you could work for? It's kind of how I started. My pastor told me, he said, what's the minimum you can come for? I said, well, whatever. You just give it to me and I'll be there. I remember our first car, a Volkswagen. We had a Volkswagen Beetle. It was multicolors because it was all banged up. And it was blue, yellow, and gray primer. You could see the street through the floorboard when we drove it. My mother and father got us groceries in the ministry. Had it not been for them, we wouldn't have been able to eat. All of my children were on government subsidy at school, and they had to endure the ridicule of their friends as they took the government milk and cheese and everything else because we didn't get a salary that could even pay our bills. But I asked these young men, what would it take? And to my surprise, it's only going to take $600 a month for each of them. We're talking about $1,200 to help them get in the presence of God and do the work of God. I said, well, we don't have that kind of money. And honestly, we don't. As a ministry, I could not add that into the budget. This building, all of our expenses, yeah, they're paid for. But right now, the way our income is, we have to just be where we are and not add any additional expense. So I said, Lord, if the people are willing, maybe for 6 months, they'll say, I'll support one of these young men or both of them. It's all good. We're going to divide it up equally. It's not a contest to see if Dominic gets more than Jesse. But if you'd be willing to give $50 a month, my wife and I are going to do that. So we only need 11 more people. 11 people each at $50 would support one of these boys for 6 months. Don't you think to join this list of proven ministry that we are responsible to raise up another generation? And I promise you, I'll make them toe the line, and they will learn ministry. And if they don't, they'll go to Burger King. So, ushers, do you have those pledge cards back there? All right. If you're here today and you say, well, Pastor, you know what? I will support one of these young men. If you can't do 50, maybe you can do 20, maybe you can do 10. But you say, for the next 6 months, I'll get behind you. I see what you see. I'll support you. And give me one of those pledge cards. Would you hold your hand up right now? And our ushers are going to come and give them to you. And believe that God is going to raise up another generation. Thank you so much. Be patient. They're coming to you right now. Hands are going up all over. As you look at these hands, guys, I want you to look at the faces of those people. You are responsible to live a life exemplary of that of Christ and to be a good steward of all that God puts in your life. These people are believing in you. They're counting on you to live right, love everybody, and to pray hard and to be all that God has made you to be. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you. There's some more hands in the back. Perhaps we can service the people there as well. Praise God, praise God. All right, I'm just going to have you go down. And I want to say thank you. There's another hand there of people. Thank you for your generosity. My goodness, this is awesome. I think this is going to be a huge blessing to our remnant youth groups, also to our entire ministry, and to the future. I really believe that. I really believe that. Thank you, Lord. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need help with the thoughts that are in my mind. I'm thinking thoughts that are not supported by God. Would you come in agreement with prayer with me? I'm going to make a change in my life. We want to pray with you about that. And if you've never been born again, don't leave here until you are. Receive Christ as your Savior. You see, it's the Word of God that makes a difference in your life. And I know that your life will never be the same. As we stand, please, I want our altar ministers to come and position themselves across the front of this room. Well, I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Would you worship me with me? I exalt thee. Oh, Lord. Oh. For whatever need before you leave, why don't you come? You live right, love everybody, pray hard. We'll see you Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We're going to continue our study in the book of Revelation. I'm looking forward to being with you. Be friendly with one another. Remember, be grateful in all things. Give God glory for everything. Yes. Oh, if you're a visitor, fill out your connection card and give it to one of the ushers. Made the pledge, please give that to the usher today before you go home so we have an account for that number as well. God bless you.